Hello, .NET members, readers, and listeners. This is John Morrigan, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the NXT show that aired December 27th, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the commercial break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review to the NXT show headlined by a Fatal 4-Way match for number one contendership of the NXT Championship. Now we're back, and for a quick recommendation to this episode, I'll just say go out and watch it. I tend to say this every week, and may come off as a broken record for the NXT show, but it's true. This show is very good. It's also made even better coming off of like the terrible 205 Live episodes that I have to watch. Totally different tone of review you hear from me when you hear me back. Back days, especially for the non-members who get to hear me twice this week. But this was a very good episode and a very fun main event. So the two undercard matches were give or take. You missed it, you missed it, you saw it. The second one was great. But the Fatal 4-Way was a very fun Fatal 4-Way. And NXT continues to pull off this little thing where even in defeat, the wrestlers who lose the match come out looking strong. We saw that with Roderick Strong either 2 weeks ago or last week. And we saw this with the losers of this Fatal 4-Way, especially with those losers being three guys who you would think they would protect. And traditionally, the guy who won the match would have been put in this match to take the pin. But just to cut ahead a little bit, Johnny Gargano is the new number one contender to the NXT Championship, and he will be facing Andrade Cien Almas at the NXT TakeOver show at Philadelphia, I believe. They didn't really clarify that, but I believe Mauro Ranallo mentioned that a couple weeks ago. As I said with my recommendation, check out the show. But I will be going over my full audio review, and if you would like to follow along, you can check out my written review, which is on ProWrestling.net. The reason I'm telling you to check that out is if you would like to follow along, have a reading guide, I use it as a outline and as bullet points. So if you're going to skip ahead, you can find out exactly where I'm at through the written review. Now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review. This week's episode was, I believe, the last set of tapings from the November 29th tapings at Winter Park, Florida, at Full Sail University. I believe the next set of tapings is January 4th, and it's not going to be at Full Sail. I forget the arena exactly, but it's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. I'll double check that later. Probably should have written that on a notepad, but whatever. I take enough notes as it is. Now, into the show, we had the signature, the theme, the commentators, Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, and Percy Watson checked in on commentary. Nigel hyped up the Fatal 4-Way. The Street Profits made their entrance, and they were facing an enhancement team. The enhancement team, I had to look this up on the WWE site. It was Chris Starr and Riley Apex. So you had the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, versus Chris Starr and Riley Apex. Couldn't really figure out who was who from the enhancement guys. Neither did the announcers. They didn't point that out. One guy, the bigger guy in the corner, looked like JBL. And in the highlight of this match, because of this, to skip ahead, it was an enhancement match. The Street Profits defeated Chris Starr and Riley Apex via pinfall in 1 minute and 48 seconds, with Montez Ford hitting a impressive frog splash, I believe, on the bigger guy. The reason I mentioned the bigger guy is, for some reason throughout this match, Nigel McGuinness kept calling this guy a JBL doppelganger, and he's kind of right. The guy looks like a younger JBL. So when the big guy tagged in, Nigel McGuinness pointed out, he says, here comes JBL. I can't do a Nigel McGuinness accent. I can do a Drew Galloway accent, but not a Nigel McGuinness one. The guy who took the frog splash was the JBL guy, because Nigel did yell out, NWO Bradshaw is prone in the center. I was like, what the hell? That was hilarious. I don't know why. He just kept laying it on thick that this guy looks like Bradshaw. But yes, that was the highlight of the match. There was a big guy who looked like Bradshaw. After the match, this Profits cut a promo. They were just naming a bunch of the tag teams in the NXT tag team division and said they were coming after the NXT tag team championships. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think they're ready for the NXT tag team championships quite yet. They're still sounding very this vanilla about the Street Profits. Montez Ford had something as far as personality is concerned. He has it. He has a swagger. What he does seems natural. Angelo Dawkins comes off as acting. He's better from where he was when the Street Profits started, but he does still seem a little bit nervous on the microphone. The other problem with the Street Profits is they seem like a stereotype caricature of just two black guys, and I'm saying this as a black guy myself. Yeah, it's very eye-rolly. Not as bad as, say, Crime Time or the Mexicals when talking about bad WWE stereotyping, because it's not bad stereotyping, but it's still caricature stereotyping. What doesn't help is that Angelo Dawkins doesn't come off as very natural playing the stereotype role. When he delivered a promo, it seemed like he was trying to act like Jey Uso. It just, like I said, it came off as an act. And that's they still need to work on this. They might be able to get there, and hopefully someone backstage figures out that this does comes off as a stereotype. One thing I've always recommended is hire a person of color on the creative team. Just saying, maybe they do. It's Full Sail University, so there's plenty of students to pluck if they do pluck students from Full Sail University. But this is why I always recommend it when in my say my Impact Wrestling or Lucha Underground audio reviews that Conan should be on a creative team. As I mentioned, the Mexicals earlier. Mexicals were always a bad caricature version of LAX. And I feel that Conan, who's Hispanic, would be the perfect person to write for Hispanics. I would also trust Conan in the hands of writing for black people or Asian people over, no offense, white people. White people. Sorry, I'm not offending. No, I don't mean any bad. It's just I trust minorities in writing minorities. Trust me on this. I would know. moving along. Yeah, no, and as I said, so and as because they're a work in progress, I don't see them being ready to be anywhere near the tag team championships. Not even ahead of TM61, who hasn't been in NXT for about a year, and even Heavy Machinery, who are rookies. They might be ahead of Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss, but not by much. But ahead, because Tino Sabatelli has some things that he has to get fixed as far as personality is concerned. But now I'm going to move along. The next match of the night was Ember Moon defending her NXT Women's Championship against Sonya Deville. And this was a really solid match. It was very competitive. Sonya Deville, in the last couple weeks, has really developed an in-ring identity. She never really discovered that for most of her time in NXT. She had an impressive look and has an impressive presence about her. It's just we never really figured out who she was in the ring because she would always have these 50-50 matches against rookies. She's a rookie herself, but she does stand out with the MMA gimmick. Her real life background is she is an MMA fighter, not a big name MMA fighter, as we'll see in a little bit. But we found out in Tough Enough, which was where she came from, that she was a MMA fighter in the past. It was the last season of Tough Enough, the one with Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, Velveteen Dream, and Chelsea Green being the standouts. And that big guy CeCe, who was kind of weird and people liked for his personality. But luckily, he's gone from wrestling, I guess. But anyway, the winner of this match, of course, was Ember Moon. And she won the match in about 6 minutes and 30 seconds of TV time, meaning there was a commercial break. And it was a good match, but the crowd didn't really react to anything, and I couldn't blame them because NXT framed this as almost an enhancement match. Usually during championship matches, and during these tapings, they did it when they had a championship match with the tag team titles. I believe you would have Mike Rome enter the ring to do formal ring introductions, which signifies that this is a big deal. Mike Rome was at ringside. We saw him at ringside, but he didn't handle in-ring formal introductions, which was a bit odd. But it's a nuance like that that doesn't make you take this match seriously. So Sonya Deville had no chance against Ember Moon. But she was on her way out, as we all know. She's heading to Raw. No, she's on Raw. They acknowledged that. And this was taped after her Raw debut. They're just running through some of her matches that she never received. And I believe they're maybe experimenting a bit, seeing what she's good at or what she's not. After the match, though, you had Kairi Sane made her entrance, and sort of the pointy thing where she said, "I'm coming after the NXT Women's Championship," without saying it, but she did it with body language. Out of nowhere, though, the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler, snuck up behind Kairi Sane and locked in a very snug rear naked choke. And I made the joke that I said that's probably why Nikki Bella can lock in a way better STF than John Cena, because Nikki Bella actually received training from Shayna Baszler in preparation for her return to the ring. Shayna Baszler looked very impressive. Of course, Shayna Baszler is the former UFC Ultimate Fighter, has a very big name in the MMA world, being one of the four horsewomen, part of that with I can't really name all four. I can name three of them. The most notable being Ronda Rousey, and the third one being Roderick Strong's wife, Marina Shafir. But a very good debut for Shayna Baszler. She also saved the segment because I was afraid it was going to be your typical. Finger pointy segment saying they're coming after the titles. Kind of what Sin Cara used to do when he debuted, which got hilarious because all he would do is, because he couldn't speak English, he would just point at his opponents. It was a very good debut. Made her look come off as a heel by beating the lovable Kairi Sane. And it set her up as a straight up badass by using a chokehold on her. It was very cool, very well done. Nigel McGuinness pointed out that the referees couldn't rip her off and that it took her 10 seconds to acknowledge the referees. It was a very good debut. She also has this biker leather look going on, and I thought that was cool as well. So, looking forward to see what Shayna Baszler brings to the NXT Women's Division. And she could be that strong heel that the NXT Women's Division has been missing for a long time. They were building up Asuka to be the strong heel, but Asuka got injured and they ended up calling her up. And I thought they were going to put Peyton Royce in that role, but it looks like they're going to do that with Shayna Baszler. I also thought they laid it on a little bit, it was a little bit on the nose by saying that Sonya Deville, the MMA fighter, is on her way out and Shayna Baszler is on her way in. But that's just a little thing. And Shayna Baszler is a much bigger name because of her UFC background. So there we go. Looking forward to it. Now let me take a little break before going to the main event to talk to you guys about .NET membership. For the low price of $7.50 a month, you can become a .NET member. And what do you get for being a .NET member? First of all, you get ad-free access to the site, so zero ads on the .NET wrestling site. You get into like a different type of site where you have forums and ability to post blogs and interact with the .NET staff and Jason Powell. You also know you get about 1 or 2 hours of like maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes here, sometimes an hour at most of audio per day. So we do provide you with a lot of free audio. But note that on the member side that we provide almost twice as much, if not three times as much, of audio per day to you guys on the member side. You're getting an NXT audio review this week. You probably won't get one next week, maybe depending on how we're feeling or not, or what audios we have in the queue. But we don't give our NXT audios or WWE Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling every single week to non-members. But note that the members get those every day, every single week after the show airs. So that's a benefit of being a .NET member. The biggest one to be a the biggest benefit to be a .NET member right now is we're in the middle of roster evaluation season. It's the holiday season, but we're also in roster evaluation season where we're going over every single wrestler of the major pro wrestling rosters in wrestling. We already went over the Ring of Honor roster first. That was Jason Powell and Hayden Glead. Jason and Jake Barnett went over SmackDown, and Will Pruitt and Jason Powell went over the WWE Raw roster, and that one took about 4 hours, 4.5, I believe. The other ones took over 2.5 and maybe even 3 hours. The NXT one, we're in the middle of, I'm going to record the NXT roster evaluation with Jason Powell in a few hours. So as a .NET member, you get to hear that. We're at Johnny Gargano at the moment, and we're going to go from him alphabetically. That's how it works. The roster evaluations, they're like NFL scouting reports, where you get to hear the strengths, the weaknesses of these wrestlers, how they're being booked, how they should be booked, and what their future outlook looks like in the professional wrestling industry, or at least how their upcoming year is going to look. What are their keys to success or successes or sinking on the roster? We go over all of that. And that's the reason to check it out now. If you end up trying us out for a month and end up liking what you hear, you can also go back into our backlog of over 10 years of content. But if you end up liking us and want to lock us down for a year, you can bring down the average price to about $5.50 a month by taking us up on the annual option. So try us out. I'm sure if you like wrestling audio, you'll end up liking what .NET has to offer. Of course, you're listening to us now. But note that this is only a sample. What you get on the member side is a lot more. You also have the ability to interact with Jason Powell by asking him random life questions. He has a Q&A every Monday. Probably not next Monday because it's New Year's, but every other Monday he hosts a random Q&A session where you can ask him about wrestling and ask him about life because that's one of the things .NET has to offer. There are a lot of things. I'm just scratching the surface. But try us out. And now let's head back to the audio review. And I only have one more match to talk about. But before that, we had Christy St. Cloud backstage looking for Ember Moon and asking her about what just happened. Of course, remember, Shayna Baszler just choked out Kairi Sane. Moon says she doesn't care if it's Kairi or Baszler. She knows that there's a target on her back and that she's not a hard person to find. She said the next time someone wants to make a statement, though, that they should come into the ring. So, good mic work from Ember Moon for once, because usually she comes off as very mopey, but that's because when she wasn't champion, she would be mopey. But she also wasn't good when they interviewed her after the winning. This was simple and sweet, but they should also minimize her promo time. A glare could say a million words in her case. But good mic work there. Let's just hope she doesn't end up talking a lot unless he ends up finding something. That was solid work there. Moving along. Marwanalo. So we had a commercial break. And Marwanalo told us that next week was going to be a best of 2017 episode. So you probably won't get an NXT audio from me, even if you are a .NET member, because I don't have to review a best of episode. He also hyped up an Ember Moon video package, which I think would be very good as well. She is in dire need of one of those because we don't know who Ember Moon is. She may be a werewolf, and she strikes the Sailor Moon pose every once in a while. That's great. And in 2 weeks, we're getting Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly defending their tag team championships against Sanity. So look forward to that. I don't think they taped that. Their next tapings, I believe, are January 4th, and we're into new taping territory in a new year. Next was the Fatal 4-Way match. Killian Dane was out first, let's see. I'll just go right to the match. You had the announcers just talking about some of their accolades, talking about how Gargano wasn't even supposed to be in this match because his spot was supposed to be Velveteen Dreams, but Velveteen Dream was injured. I still find that very odd. I'll go into that in my post-match analysis. Lars Sullivan had his very cool entrance that they gave him a new entrance last week, where they make it look like an eclipse, and he's like the moon covering the sun. Very cool looking. And of course, Aleister Black has this cool entrance that was always cool to begin with the smoke and the lifting out of a coffin type thingy. So our next match of the night was a Fatal 4-Way match for number one contendership of the NXT Championship. It was Killian Dane versus Johnny Gargano versus Lars Sullivan versus Aleister Black, and this was a very fun match. All four guys ended up looking strong. The surprising one was the surprise of the match, Johnny Gargano winning, because they were writing him into this PTSD and depression storyline. It looked like they were building towards an encounter with Tommaso Ciampa, and that's the thing with Johnny Gargano. It's you're just waiting for Tommaso Ciampa to pop up and screw him over because Tommaso Ciampa has just been missing. That'll be interesting to see at NXT TakeOver Philadelphia to see if we get Andrade Almas versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa just screws Johnny Gargano over. We don't have to get Zelina Vega throwing t-shirts at him to lose the match. Maybe she'll try to tease it doing it again, but we'll see where that ends up going. Let's just talk about this match for now. It was very fun. You had Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan as the giants of the match, and Aleister Black stood out as one of the three giants because he was just dominating those two. Dominating Johnny Gargano. He was the one. Johnny Gargano was the man meant to be dominated and the underdog, which played well into just the storyline. Aleister Black was undefeated, Lars Sullivan's undefeated, and Killian Dane is a giant beast who doesn't lose a lot. He has been pinned by, say, Drew Galloway, or I mean, Drew McIntyre. And he might have lost some tag team matches, but he is a big 300-pound dude, so that's not easy for the under 205 dude to beat up. Very fun match. You had a table spot. Lars Sullivan cleared the table, tried to power bomb Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano climbed up some scaffolding, and Killian Dane splashed Sullivan through the table. You had Aleister Black just doing all his cool kicks, and at the end of the match, you had Aleister Black being the most dominant. He had both giants in the ring and ended up taking both of them down with kicks. So Aleister Black, in the land of giants, is the strongest giant, even though you wouldn't at first glance see him as a giant. He very dominating. That kickboxing stuff is very cool. But he kicked Killian down to size and took down Lars Sullivan with Black Mass, his finisher, the one that no one has kicked out of. Sullivan didn't kick out, but you had Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish coming in and pulling Aleister Black off. Aleister Black quickly kicks both of them off, but then Adam Cole comes in and hits one of his finishers. It was the suplex, the brainbuster into his knee. After that, you had Johnny Gargano trying to take advantage, or he took advantage, first cleared out Adam Cole, then sidestepped Lars Sullivan, sending Sullivan into the ring steps. Then he hurricanrana'd Killian Dain into Sullivan to take down both of the Giants, and then hit Black with the slingshot DDT to pick up the surprise victory, at which popped the hot crowd huge. So Johnny Gargano defeated Aleister Black, Killian Dain, and Lars Sullivan via pinfall in 12 minutes and 44 seconds of TV time to become number one contender to the NXT Championship. And that was the story. Afterwards, you had Gargano, because of his months and months of losing, sell that he was shocked, and this worked for the crowd. The one thing that some people might be apprehensive of is they got rid of the Aleister Black undefeated streak, but they really protected Aleister Black here by laying it on thick with the Adam Cole Undisputed Era interference. The purpose behind it, you don't usually see too many run-ins on NXT, usually unless it's involving Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. But they pull it out every once in a while, more, less often than Raw and SmackDown, and they used it to its mo like biggest effect to protect Aleister Black here. You had Lars Sullivan away from the finish, but you had Aleister Black looking like the guy who was going to pin the undefeated Lars Sullivan. So they protected one guy and made guy one the guy who wasn't protect who ended up not getting protected protected by having him defeat the protected guy. So that I said protective so many times in that sentence, but understand me there. They were gonna have Aleister Black, as far as visually concerned, pin what you call it, pin Lars Sullivan, and Killian Dain wasn't involved in the finish, so everyone was protected. It was great. The one downside I see here, not downside, but criticism that I may see from some people is they may be dropping the Johnny Gargano depression PTSD storyline, but they might even play into that. That will give Zelina Vega plenty of tools to dig in on him. They already had this feud, Andrade Almas versus Johnny Gargano. Of course, it mostly consisted of Zelina Vega throwing DIY t-shirts at him, and then Johnny Gargano going like, "What the hell?" But it'll be interesting to see what creative stuff they can come up with. Zelina Vega, in particular, has been this a masterful manager and a good mouthpiece for the Andrade Cien Almas act. So let's see where they go from here. I did have one little prediction, not a prediction, but a theory. And of course, the tapings is over, and so this is a theory. I'm not going into any spoilers because no spoilers exist. I wonder if Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream, had a big injury, and if they're going to have a quick match between Velveteen Dream and Johnny Gargano. I don't think Velveteen Dream is quite ready for the title yet, and it'll be a bit odd to have heel versus heel in Dream versus Almas. But I do wonder if, I still question, because of the way they've been booking Johnny Gargano, if he'll even make it to Philadelphia as number one contender. And even when they make it to Philadelphia, Johnny Gargano's the ultimate underdog because no one expects him to win. Everyone's just going to be looking at the ramp to see if Tommaso Ciampa is going to run out. And if not, you're going to have Zelina Vega throwing light blue DIY t-shirts at him. I keep joking about that because that was actually a thing in their feud. But hence the PTSD. But there we go. This was a fun NXT episode. I'll be back. Let's see, will I be back next year? Next week? Oh, yeah, probably. I'm gonna be back with my 205 live audio review. Why does that show exist? Can we get a best of right there? If it was on New Year's, I wouldn't be covering it. But 205 Live sucks. NXT is awesome. You'll hear me review 205 Live next week, so expect me to be sulking because that show sucks. Still hoping that Matt Hardy comes over to try to delete that show. Before like Rockstar Spud gets there or something. Rockstar Spud deserves better. All those guys deserve better. Anyway, yes, I shouldn't drag my 205 baggage onto this show. Sorry about that. Let's end this on a positive note. This show was awesome because NXT is awesome after especially after its huge reboot after WrestleMania. With that said, thank you so much for being .NET members if you're a member, and if you're not, try out a membership for at least a month. Especially right now, to download the NXT roster evaluation and all the other roster evaluations. Even if you just become a member for a month, you can download all those to listen to and then jump back on board whenever you feel like it. But now's the time to become a .NET member again. It's heading into Royal Rumble season, which, as WWE will point out, is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. So now we will have a ton of content for you. Trust us on that one. We're also heading into our best of season, so look forward to that as well. With that said, happy post-Christmas and happy New Year in a few days. Thank you so much for listening.